Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
I'm Candy Shannon, and you are tuned to member-supported WPFW, Washington.
Start to turn it around.
If we all could love one another, all the world could be as one. Just take time to love one another, all the world could be as one. Black man, white man, standing together, no more fighting to be done. Yellow, red man, dancing together, all the world could be at one.
And welcome to Heal DC. This is Monday, July 29th, 2024. This is Joni, and today we will be talking about sharing highlights from Wednesday, July 24th, shut it down for Palestine, citizens' arrest of Netanyahu. We will also be focused on the escalating police murder of Black people in this country and the interconnections between the war on Gaza in Palestine and the war on Black people in the United States. You'll hear from the labor movement, Palestinian youth movement, Jewish Voice for Peace, and Harriet's Wildest Dreams. The end of the show will give you a special surprise guest who's talking about an event he's organizing in honor and recognition of the Nat Turner 1831 Rebellion. We are dedicating this show to Sonia Massey, horrifically murdered July 6th in Illinois. We're very grateful for the National Day of Mourning that took place yesterday in at least 15 cities, organized by Tamika Mallory with the Until Freedom Movement. And we're also very proud that Harriet's Wildest Dreams right here in Washington, D.C., put together two vigils this weekend, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. We'll be hearing from Harriet's Wildest Dreams later in the show. I'd also like to dedicate this show, as we're talking about police murder, in honor of my dear friend, James Sherrod, whose son was killed, whose son, Kevin Hargrave Sherrod, was killed exactly 2 years ago. I knew Kevin since he was 7 years old. So he is one of the many who've been murdered by the police right here in the nation's capital. We're going to start with a clip from the rally on Wednesday, a very inspiring clip. We'll be hearing from two labor unions, Postal Workers Union and United Auto Workers, and all the unions that sent a letter to Biden represent 6 million workers around the country calling for a ceasefire. So let's hear it.
I'm sure many of you saw an amazing thing that happened this week. Seven of the most significant unions in this country sent a letter to the White House demanding an immediate halt to all military aid to Israel. The Association of Flight Attendants, the American Postal Workers Union, the International Union of Painters, the National Education Association, the Service Employees International Union, the United Auto Workers, and the United Electrical Workers. Say it with me now, say it with me now. Workers of the world unite.
Workers of the world unite.
Palestine is our fight.
Palestine is
workers of the world unite.
Workers of the world unite.
Palestine is our fight.
Palestine is our fight.
Workers of the world unite.
Workers of the world unite.
Palestine is our fight. Now I want you to give a warm welcome to the president of the American Postal Workers Union, Mark Diamonstein, and Brandon Mancia from the UAW.
Union solidarity greetings, fighters for justice. In the spirit of working class solidarity and justice, the American Postal Workers Union, AFL-CIO, stands with humanity and the suffering people, workers and unions of Gaza, in calling for a long overdue ceasefire and massive humanitarian aid to the 2.3 million people of Gaza, walled in, displaced, homeless, bombed, killed, injured, diseased, and starving behind the war crimes of the Netanyahu Israeli government, fully backed by U.S. military aid. Just last week in our convention, we voted, quote, we called on the U.S. government to halt all military aid to the Israeli government and to stop using our tax dollars for more war, end of quote. The billionaire class and the corporations never pay their fair share of taxes, if at all. But workers do. And our tax dollars should never be used to bomb, maim, and kill innocent children, women, and men of Gaza, nor to enrich the U.S. military-industrial complex. It is shameful that Netanyahu, already charged with genocide and war crimes by the International Court of Justice, and with the blood of tens of thousands of children on his hands, has been invited by both the Democratic and Republican leadership to address Congress. This is but another bipartisan green light, along with billions more of military aid, to continue the carnage and brutality, and is increasing the very real danger of a wider war. The American Postal Workers Union is proud to have joined with other national unions, including the United Auto Workers, United Electrical Workers, the Association of Flight Attendants, the National Nurses Union, International Union of Painters, and the National Education Association in the National Labor Network for a ceasefire. We stand with the vast majority of the people of our country and the world who support a ceasefire, humanitarian aid, peace, and freedom. As the main financial backer of the Israeli military machine, the White House has the leverage to stop the massacre. And it is a falsehood that criticizing the government of Israel and our own somehow equates to being anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish. As we are doing today, let us carry on with ever more urgency, increasing the pressure to compel our government to save lives by refusing to supply another bomb. It's great to be here standing shoulder to shoulder with all of you. Solidarity forever.
Who's got the power? We got the power. What kind of power? People power. Who's got the power?
We got the power.
What kind of power?
People power.
I'm gonna try union power now, right? Who's got the power?
We got the power.
What kind of power?
Union power.
I wanna thank Mark Dimenstein and the postal workers for their leadership on calling for an immediate and permanent ceasefire in Gaza. Without the leadership of the postal workers and Mark and the UE and so many other unions such as ours, the International UAW, would not be here today. We also would not be here today if it wasn't for the work of so many people behind me, the rank and file workers of our union. Why is a ceasefire and an end to arms shipments to Israel a labor issue? I'll tell you why. Because auto workers in Dearborn, Michigan have been personally affected by this issue and have demanded that their union and their government stop funding a genocide. Because academic workers all across the country in countless campuses in almost every state of this country have been protesting for their literal right of free speech to call on their universities to divest and to be held accountable. Our members were part of that movement. They will continue to be part of that movement. We are also here because public defenders, UAW members in New York City, have been targeted by our government for calling for a ceasefire. So don't tell me this isn't a labor issue when our very own government is coming after labor unions for standing with the people of Palestine. Labor unions are one of the only democratic institutions we've got in this country. We hold our government, we hold our nation accountable. We hold the billionaires and the millionaires accountable. So if we want to continue building power for working people in this country, if we want to continue to have pro-labor administrations, we call on our government and anyone vying for office to stand for a ceasefire now. Solidarity forever, everyone. The labor movement stands with you.
People, Sarah Katz from Jewish Voice for Peace and Batul from Palestinian Youth Movement. We're going to start real quick with Sarah. Good morning, Sarah. Can people hear me? Hello, Sarah.
Oh, you can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. So tell us about a little bit about JVP. I know there was a major event Monday evening. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me back, Joni. So last week, really busy sort of span of 10 days and this mass mobilization, as you said, increased escalation. Last week on Tuesday, the day before Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu visited D.C., Jewish Voice for Peace felt that it was critical to take a large action, and they brought, some people were local, but they brought over 400 Jews together to sit in and refuse to leave Congress, calling for a ceasefire, a lasting and permanent ceasefire, and also for the U.S. to halt all arms transfers and sales to Israel and money. And it was a really powerful action. They filled the rotunda and were led by about 20 rabbis in the center. And just, we all want to make really clear that this, as we just heard from Mark Dimonson too, that it's a Jewish issue to call for this as much as it's any humanitarian issue. And we want to make it really clear that as U.S. Jews, we don't support what is happening in our name, and that what is the U.S. administration is what is perpetuating this. And so we all have to do everything in our power to call for an immediate cessation of supporting this.
Yes, and I actually met one of the people who came in from Massachusetts who participated in that sit-in. She said that although it was very positive at the end, the police held them for something like 12 hours. Can you speak to that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. There are people who came in, as you mentioned, from Boston. There are lots of folks, but I'm aware of several people who were held and only finally released at 3 or 4 in the morning after, being arrested by the Capitol Police at 3 and 4 in the afternoon. They were held for an incredibly long period of time. For this action that was entirely peaceful, to recenter Palestine in the mainstream media and continue the demands. And we saw an increased, there's always, as you mentioned, incredible, policing in DC, but we saw increased, amount of surveillance and policing that happened around Netanyahu's visit last week, which makes all of us less safe in the city and is not a good use of our local resources.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you'd like to say anything more about the spirit of the JBP people who came from around the country, but also maybe share the event that's happening, I think, tomorrow related to
sure. JBP. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Joni. So I don't want to touch too much on Wednesday because I know Batul will be talking about that as well. But many of the folks who came in for Tuesday, as well as many more folks, came to take part in a large public action, as you mentioned, part of the Shut It Down for Palestine coalition. And there were hundreds, literally maybe at the peak, over 400 folks who wanted to meet up and join up with the JVP contingent at this action. And it was really beautiful to see the community. There were folks from all over who were volunteering to carry supplies for folks, who were volunteering to be medics during the day. There was a band that came out that, you know, offered to hang around for a few hours. And so, you know, seeing that happen, seeing that response creates hope that, you know, we are capable of creating a different system and a different world. And it's unfortunate that we have to have these moments where we come together. But to see people mobilize for them so beautifully is gives hope. Okay. I think moving. I want to mention the action that you asked about. So continuing this sort of week of escalated action, CUFI, Christians United for Israel, which we know is a scary source behind the rising Christian nationalism in this country. They are hosting their annual conference here in the region. And there is a large interfaith contingent organizing to say that Christian nationalism makes everyone less safe. And so we're inviting folks to come out. There's several actions. And last time I mentioned that there's interfaith action for Palestine.com. Specifically, I just want to lift up a rally that's happening tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Upper Senate Park, which is right near, right on Capitol Hill, right near Congress. And so it'll go for several hours and there'll be a large rally. And I encourage any of your listeners to come out and invite anybody else they think might be interested.
And say again, where is that going to be tomorrow?
Yeah, it's going to be in Upper Senate Park, which is right next to, you can see the Capitol building from that. The actual location is 200 New Jersey Avenue Northwest.
Okay, great. We have to keep moving. We have a packed show today. Again, Sarah Katz from the Jewish Voice for Peace, we appreciate your being with us today, and you were with us last week as well. Also coming back from last week is Batul from the WISI Palestinian Youth Movement, who's also going to give us an overview of her perspective about the impact of what happened last week, the solidarity, as well as the police harassment and more. So welcome, Batul.
Good morning, Joni. Thanks for having me back. I think what was really powerful for me around the action was really seeing Netanyahu not get a single moment of peace from the moment he landed in Washington, D.C. So I think I want to start by contextualizing some of the things that happened before and after the rally itself. So Monday evening at the Watergate Hotel, actions kicked off where community members participated in noise demonstrations, and those continued through about 11 p.m. So we saw community engage in about five or six of those all the way up until the afternoon on Saturday when Netanyahu left Washington, D.C. We also saw light projections on the Capitol building calling for the arrest of Netanyahu for war crimes as described in the ICC case. We saw autonomous protesters releasing crickets and maggots early Wednesday morning at the Watergate in the halls and private rooms where Israeli-U.S. meetings were set to take place. We also saw within Congress about 128 Democratic congressional representatives boycotted Netanyahu's address. And during the address, we saw Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib protest the speech by carrying a sign that says Netanyahu was guilty of genocide. And then on Thursday, after the Wednesday mobilization, as Netanyahu was meeting with President Biden and Vice President Harris, we saw thousands gather in Lafayette Square with even more renewed energy to really denounce these meetings. And that rally lasted for hours as well. So with all that sort of as the context, the rally itself, I would say, was a really powerful display of unity. We saw tens of thousands of protesters marching through the streets of Washington, D.C. And I think it's important to note that this took place on a weekday, on a Wednesday morning, where people were having to call out of work to travel into the city. So I think that really speaks to the fact that our movement is still going strong, and it's as strong as it ever was. We saw a range of speakers taking the stage. We saw clergy members speaking. We saw presidential candidates Jill Stein and Claudia de la Cruz speaking, as well as you mentioned before, the United Auto Workers Union reading a statement co-signed by dozens of other national unions, which included, for example, the Association of Flight Attendants, American Postal Workers Union, and International Union of Painters. And they had also released that letter representing 6 million workers across the country who had demanded that Biden immediately halt all military aid to Israel. As this was happening, and I think this really created a sort of high energy rally, the MCs would announce every few speakers that there was more and more blockades taking place. So throughout the course of the rally, there were 6 total intersections blockaded by activists that had successfully rerouted the motorcade so that Netanyahu's travel to Congress was disrupted. One of those was actually a student blockade, which was coordinated by local students from the DMV area working within the SJP coalition. And despite the police repression, which I'll speak to in a second, the mobilization was powerful and beautiful. The crowd was full of children and families and elders. And there was a really amazing art that community members had created. We saw, for example, puppets of Netanyahu. We had members from PYM, you know, our volunteers created a wall display honoring our martyrs, which was also very beautiful. And we saw a lot of support from local residents as well, who watched the protest march by and either joined or expressed their support. I remember seeing one man standing outside of his home with a hose, spraying people who were passing by to help them cool off from the heat. At the end of it, we saw the protest culminate in unions in Capitol Hill overtaking the Columbus Circle outside of Union Station, where protesters had taken down the American flag and raised the Palestinian flag in front of Union Station, and then marched back towards Congress. So I'll speak to some of the police repression, because I think we saw a lot of police violence and brutality that day. So 200 members of NYPD actually were deployed into Washington, D.C. and sworn in as U.S. Capitol Police special officers. And they really wasted no time. The second they arrived into D.C., they helped MPD apprehend a D.C. resident on foot. So we immediately saw the impact of the militarization of the city. And I think that militarization really speaks to how afraid the ruling class of the country is, you know, seeing the barricades that were put up near the Watergate Hotel and police providing protection to Netanyahu, really no expense spared for the protection of a war criminal, right? The day of the rally itself, police arrested 14 community members, one of whom was a 15-year-old child. And as protesters had attempted to reach Constitution Avenue during the march, police deployed pepper spray at close range, injuring a lot of our community members. They also used flashbangs. And I remember in that moment really being struck by sort of the cowardliness of that response, for police to be decked out head to toe in full gear with shields, with goggles, against a crowd, like I mentioned, full of families, children in strollers, elders, community members, you know, holding up signs and banners. Truly, it was a clear form of intimidation that demonstrated just how afraid they are of the power of the people who continue to stand up for Palestinian liberation. And I think it's important, too, to mention, just earlier this month, we saw police in the state of Illinois brutally murdering 36-year-old Black woman Sonia Massey in her home. And I think Harriet's Wildest Dreams, like you mentioned, Joni, spoke to this on stage on the 24th in a really powerful way. talking about the intersectionality and connection between police brutality in the U.S. and military occupation in Palestine. And this was mentioned again on Saturday at the vigil that they hosted in Folger Park. But what I will say is that
we're going to hear from Harriet Swalders Streams, but just say a word about that vigil on Saturday. It was very powerful. I know Ayanna Gregory sang, or do you want? And they also had one on Sunday. Did you want to just say anything more about that rally, those rallies?
Yeah, I'll say they were incredibly powerful, incredibly moving and emotional. You could see just sort of I was looking around and there really wasn't sort of a person who hadn't teared up in that space. I think it was a beautiful sort of coming together of community to create that space. And you could see also a lot of keffiyehs in the space. So I think it just really represented that sort of solidarity and that joint struggle that we talk about so much. Talking to community members, Palestinian community members, I think they're really struck by how powerful that space was, because I think so often as Palestinians, we feel that we don't have space to process the grief of seeing the genocide. And so being able to watch Black community members in our community and sort of witness the ways in which they process their grief and be inspired by that ability to hold both anger and sadness and joy and all of sort of the emotions at once, I think was really powerful.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And share a little bit, you may be getting to this, the medics who you shared with me that in the midst of all the police brutality that was going on, and I must say it was the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, who sent those cops down, and people in New York City, I can tell you, were very upset with him. And as we know, the police in this country are trained by the police in Israel, so that's where they're learning these horrific things. But you had some stories about the medics, how the medics were supporting people.
Yeah, so there were actually local volunteer street medics from the People's Medic Collective who had been there on site and who really just stepped in to make sure folks were taken care of after multiple incidents of police deploying pepper spray and brutalizing protesters. And I also saw community members stepping in to take care of each other, protecting each other, you know, finding water to help wash away the pepper spray. I watched as community members held up their keffiyehs to preserve, you know, the modesty of a woman who needed to take off her hijab in order to receive medical care. I saw people giving each other fresh t-shirts so they didn't have to spend the rest of the day wearing clothes that were soaked in pepper spray. So I think all of these things really speak to, again, the fact that we protect each other, that the police don't protect us, that they only cause harm, and also that our community members won't be intimidated by these tactics, and that we'll continue to fill the streets in opposition of this genocide and to demand that the U.S. government.
Absolutely. You're listening to Batul from Palestinian Youth Movement. We just heard from Sarah Katz from Jewish Voice for Peace. And we're focusing today, and this is WPFW 89.3 FM. This is Joni with To Heal DC, and we're focusing the hour on spotlighting, focusing on what happened on Wednesday, on July 24th, with the citizens' arrest for Netanyahu, and also on the issue, escalating issue of police violence with the horrific murder of Sonia Massie. On July 6th, we're going to be hearing in a moment from Nene Taylor with Harriet's Wildest Dreams, but I wanted to make sure that Batul had a chance to mention, as she shared last week, of course, the struggle continues and there are more campaigns and actions being planned. But tell us, Batul, about the very important campaign that Jewish Voice for Peace. Well, please forgive me. I'm sorry, I'm talking too fast. Palestinian Youth Movement will be stepping up its campaign that is taking place around the country. Tell us about that again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Joni. So the campaign is the Mask Off MERSK campaign. That's MAERSK. So Maersk is a Danish shipping company. It's one of the world's largest shipping companies, and it's responsible for shipping currently about 68% of Israel's weapons from the U.S. We also know that about 14% of their profits come from arms contracts. So we're taking up this campaign to really pressure Maersk to drop its relationship to these arms manufacturers and these weapons manufacturers like Boeing or Lockheed Martin, with the hope that with enough pressure, they will find it more financially viable to cut these relationships. And we also know, as I mentioned last week, we know that Maersk chartered the ship that was carrying 764 tons of toxic waste to Sri Lanka when it crashed into the Key Bridge in Baltimore. And that resulted in the deaths of 6 workers and the injury of 2. So with this campaign, we hope to really unmask sort of this perception of Maersk as a progressive, environmentally friendly corporation, and sort of expose its relationship to the ongoing genocide. And again, create pressure so that they're able to drop these ties and stop transporting arms to Israel. And what people can do now, if they're interested to learn more, is to go on to the Mask Off Maersk website. That's maskoffmaersk.com, where they can sign the petition and stay connected to the campaign. And we hope to engage our community more and more with this campaign soon. So we'll be posting about events and things coming up around that on our Instagram page at PYMGMV.
Yes, thank you. And we hope to continue to share it with our WPFW listeners. Again, you just heard from Batul with the Palestinian Youth Movement, and PYM played a leading role in the July 24th event that happened last week. We are very proud of the young people that are stepping up to the plate, following our ancestors as well. We're proud of our ancestors, too. We're going to jump now to hear Nene Taylor speaking last Wednesday, and hopefully we will have a minute or two to hear from back from Batul and Sarah after Nene speaks. And again, make sure to stay tuned for the end of the show, where we have a surprise guest talking about the Nat Turner Rebellion of 1831 and a special event that is going to be taking place in recognition of that on Sunday. But let's hear from Nene Taylor from last Wednesday, Shut It Down for Palestine.
But please put your hands together for a speaker from Harriet's Wildest Dreams, Nene Taylor, a DC native and one of the PYM chapters here's closest allies, who have been with us every step of the way. When the students were brutalized by the police, they were early in the hours of the morning, they were the first ones on the scene. So please, with everything you have, let's welcome Nene Taylor to the stage.
Stop singing. I went down to the Capitol and I took back what they stole from me, and I took back my dignity, and I took back my humanity, and it's under my feet, under my feet, under my feet, yes, under my feet. Ain't gonna let no system walk all over me.
We're not going to let this system walk over us. As they say, my name is Nene Taylor. I'm the executive director of Harriet's Wildest Dreams, a black-led organization right here in Washington, D.C. I'm a D.C. native. Welcome to my city. Today I stand before you brokenhearted with my sisters, Linda and Mimi, because our struggles intersect. I want to shed light on two pressing issues that demand unresisting actions: an ongoing genocide in Palestine, and the systematic police violence that's happening to black people in America. These two distinct issues are deeply interconnected and reflected at a broader pattern of injustice and oppression that plagues our world. In Palestine, we are witnessing an inhumanitary unfolding right in front of our eyes. For decades, Palestine people have suffered under the brutal occupation apartheid policies of the Israel government. The relentless violence, displacement, and discriminations faced by Palestinians constitute a clear case of genocide. At the same time, I want y'all to hear this. At the same time, right here in America, we are confronted with another form of injustice, systematic police. Our black communities continue to bear the brunt of police brutality and discrimination. The killing of unarmed black individuals like Sonya Macy. Say her name! She was shot in the face while in her home calling for help for the police. Right now, Harris Riders Jeans is fighting for justice for Delano Martin, Lazarus Wilson, Troy Bullock, Melvin J., Jeffrey Price, Kevin Hargrave, Arthur Porter, nationally, Kareem Gaines. Yo, too many to name. Say their name. Yo, what is spectacular? What's particularly disturbing? Intersection of these two issues, the same militarized tactics and technologies used to oppress the Palestinian people are often deployed against us, marginalized community. You see it today. The system that was never built for us or structured for us to keep us safe needs to be dismantled. The exchange of tactics and technology between the Israeli military and American law enforcement further entrenches the cycles of violence and oppression. I'm gonna end this now. As concerned global citizens, we must recognize the interconnection of these struggles and stand in solidarity with those who are fighting against oppression and injustice. We must demand accountability for human rights violations both in Palestine and in America. We must push our government to uphold international laws and respect the rights and dignity of all individuals, regardless of their race, religion, and nationality. In conclusion, let us remember that the fight for justice and equality knows no borders. We must join hands across continents and oceans to challenge the system of oppression that perpetrates violence and suffering. Together, we can work towards a world where every individual, whether in DC, Palestine, Congo, Sudan, or America, can live free from fear and discrimination. We rise up in solidarity. We ask of the Palestinian comrades, we stand in solidarity with our Palestinian comrades and ask them to arrest that war criminal. Arrest, I don't even want to say his name. His name is not deserving, but we stand in solidarity and say, arrest that war criminal. I charge everyone that's out here today to continue to rise up and fight back. We not free until all of us free. We not free until all of us are free. We not free until all of us are free. Ashe.
And that was our own Nene Taylor. She's very much a part of course, this show and the whole community. We're very, very proud of Nene and Harriet Wilder's Dream co-conductors, a whole large, growing number of young, mostly young black women from the area, very, very creative, very compassionate and passionate in their organizing. Again, Nene held two, Harriet Wilder's Dreams held two events this weekend, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. And I also want to mention again that it was a national group called Until Freedom, led by Tamika Mallory, that called for these vigils this weekend. I understand they took place in over 15 cities around the country. But, of course, the lamestream media hasn't really reported on that yet. We have a few minutes before we go to our final guest speaker, Milton Marquette, who's going to be talking about Nat Turner's Rebellion of 1831. But I wonder if Batu or Sarah have any final comments you'd like to make for today. Maybe reaction to Nini or whatever you might want to say. Sarah, you have anything, or Batu?
Sure. I'll just say one thing that I think we heard so powerfully about how interconnected all of our struggles are, and that everybody in DC, in Palestine, in Sudan, Congo, all over the world deserve to live in peace and security. And I think that, you know, Batul mentioned about that there's consistent and growing movement, energy in this movement right now. On a Wednesday, we saw people come out, and just thinking about how there's a growing movement among unions, going back to the clip that you played at the start. And we only win this by talking to more people and building an even stronger cry and demand for an end to the arming of Israel and an end to calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. And so I just want to lift up that that we heard that, and that we're seeing that happen, and that that just shows that you know, that there is more and more movement, and to encourage folks to get involved through either JVP, PYM, come to the Interfaith Action, but just have conversations with people to get more and more support so that the demand stays center.
Yes, and we have to keep in mind that the struggle is long. I heard someone mention that this could be another Emmett Till moment. We've heard about George Floyd, of course, but Emmett Till, way back many years ago, spurred a whole movement against lynching and white supremacy that lasted really. We're still feeling that impact today. So this is a historical movement that it's not going to end anytime soon, but we have to keep up the fight. Batu, your last words.
Yeah, just kind of echoing what Sarah said, this is a movement for everyone. It calls on all of us to act, to plug into the work. And we know that as much as there's a demand for immediate and permanent ceasefire, our demands don't end with the ceasefire, and there's lots of work to be done beyond whenever we have the ceasefire, whenever that demand is met. You know, demanding the end of the occupation, demanding the release of Palestinian prisoners, end of U.S. complicity to Zionism. And sort of in that spirit, the Shut It Down Coalition announced 3 days of action from August 1st to August 3rd to mark day 300 of the genocide on Gaza. So each locale and each city will be hosting its own events and actions in response to that call. So if folks are interested to know what we'll be hosting, people can follow us on Instagram at DMVPYM to hear more about that. And also go online to Shut It Down for Palestine. That's the number for Palestine.org.
And then, what are the dates again?
August 1st to August 3rd.
So that's this coming Thursday, right? Till Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And hopefully PFW will be sharing that information as well, especially for those folks who may not be on Instagram, as Dick Gregory would remind us. But folks, try to keep your eyes and ears open. There will be, again, all kinds of actions. As you say, how are you framing it? What is it called? August 1st to August 3rd, Batu?
It's the 3 days of action. So different locales will be hosting their own sort of events and protests as well.
Okay. Okay. And we're very proud of the Palestinian youth movement as well.
And we're also, of course, proud of the Jewish Voice for Peace, making sure that some people know this is, they cannot, they're not doing this genocide in our name, in the name of Jews. So we're thankful to have you both on the air. We hope to have you back sometime on a regular basis, although I may have to take a little break coming up, but we definitely want to have you on a regular basis so we can hear updates from the Palestinian Youth Movement and Jewish Voice for Peace. We're going to go into our final quick segment, and some of you listeners, I know, have heard about something called the Nat Turner Rebellion, which took place in 1831. And we have a guest with us. Some of you may know him. I know I certainly do, Milton Marquette. And I just want to mention that the Nat Turner Rebellion, Lonnie Bunch, who was the secretary of the Smithsonian Museum and the original director of the National Smithsonian Museum of African American History and Culture, said that the Nat Turner Rebellion is probably the most significant uprising in American history. So that's really saying something. So, Marquette, you there with us? Welcome.
Hey, Joni, I'm still trying to get him on. He's not answering yet.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, if he's not answering, we may not come on. I know that he is having a gathering on Sunday, August 4th, at 3 p.m. They're going to, unfortunately, I can't look at the flyer. He was so excited about being on, but maybe we, Batul and Sarah, are you still with us?
Yes, still here.
Still here. Okay, I think he's probably not going to make it, but he's a young man who is a reenactor at the African-American Civil War Museum, and many of us see him in that costume, and he's doing this special walk. Unfortunately, I can't get to the flyer, but he's been very excited about it. Of course, the Nat Turner Rebellion took place later in August, and that's kind of connected to the idea of Black August, where many rebellions happen. Certainly the first was Nat Turner. So we have about 3 or 4 minutes left in our conversation. Anything you both would like to say, perhaps, Batul, you can, I don't know if you want to share anything more about the Palestinian youth movement, of course, active throughout the country. Anything you both would like to say in the remaining, we have about 5 minutes.
Sure, I can speak a little bit more to some of the work we've engaged in. I spoke a little bit about this last week, but I can reiterate for listeners who are interested. PYM in the DMV has been working on various different things. Some of them have been mobilizations and disruptions. So in November, we held the largest Palestine solidarity protest in the US, which brought out around 600,000 people from around the world. And that was held in partnership with other organizations in the Shut It Down Coalition. We've also held community events like teach-ins and art builds for adults and kids, as well as teens, which we're hoping to bring back soon as well. We've held NECBA commemoration events and convenings, and we recently participated in the International League of People's Struggles with other organizations like Anak Bayan and Diaspora Plante Collective to help organize a counter summit and mass mobilization in response to...
Batul, repeat that again. I didn't quite catch what you just said. So say again what you just mentioned.
Sure. Yeah. So I was speaking to the recently how we participated in the International League of People's Struggles with other organizations like Anak Bayan and Diaspora Plante Collective to help organize a counter summit and mass mobilization in response to the NATO summit in Washington, D.C. And one of my personal favorite events that we've hosted recently was we co-hosted an event at Malcolm X Park with the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC, for African and Palestine Liberation Day, which was a really beautiful community event. There was music and There are stations for community members to participate in different forms of art. And, you know, we taught community members how to do tzotzis, which is Palestinian cross stitch. So we have lots of things going on, including but not limited to stations that we participate in.
Yes, and again, we are very proud. Those of you who see you out in the street and know you are very proud of Palestinian Youth Movement. One of the things that I love is some of the chanting that takes place. And we've had Mimi from Palestinian Youth Movement on. And maybe, Batul, you can help us get a recording of her, some of her chanting, which is very inspiring. Let's see, Sarah, we have another moment or two for you, and perhaps you'd like to share some of the things that JVP has done that you are proud of, or whatever you'd like to say is great.
Sure. Well, I'll just take a couple minutes. I think in the broad category, you know, we do a range of different events, also work on building community so folks have a space to come together to do education as well as mobilization. And in that vein, I guess I wanted to lift up two events that are coming up so your listeners have a chance to join them. One is being hosted by DC for Ceasefire, which we're proud to be part of the coalition for. And tomorrow night at 8 p.m., oh, I guess the other one's before, sorry. But that one's at 8 p.m. There's going to be a teach-in on the role of an ANC commissioner as we continue to organize. As Batul mentioned, the ceasefire is really just the start and understanding that our role as DC residents is goes beyond that, goes beyond and pushing for how our tax dollars in DC are spent. And so that's going to be on Zoom, hosted by DC for Ceasefire. You can find these on our Instagram, or if you're not on Instagram for that one, we'll figure out if there's a website for it. But
when is that? You're going to be training ANC commissioners in DC. That is fabulous. That's terrific. When is that?
We're going to be training people. We're going to talk to people about the role. So in case, because the elections are coming up, the filing deadline. So trying to get a whole group of people who might be interested in running to be their local ANC commissioner. Supporting this. This is an existing ANC commissioners. And then also tomorrow night, we're hosting a talk at the Tenley Friendship Library by Dr. Alice Rothschild, talking about health and human rights and the consequence of the ongoing Gaza genocide. So she's just going to talk about some of the conditions on the ground.
And that's Sorry. What time?
That's going to be from 6 to 8. On Wednesday, July 31st.
Okay, we're just about out of time. Thank you both. Sarah from Jewish Voice for Peace, Batul from Palestinian Youth Movement. We're very proud of you. And I want to give a special shout out to Magic Mike, our engineer, who really had to put in a lot of extra work. As always, if we have a magic wand, we would triple his salary, or maybe more than that, and support everyone and all the workers at WPFW. So stay tuned to the station, and we are going out again with, and also thanks to Mari, we're going out again with Nene Taylor and their ceasefire song.
I went down to the Capitol and I took back what they stole from me, and I took back my dignity, and I took back my humanity, and it's under my feet, under my feet, under my feet, yes, under my feet. Ain't gonna let no system walk all over me.
We're not gonna let this system walk over us. As I say, my name is Nene Taylor. I'm the executive director.
International Film Festival and Africa World Now Project hosts the 17th Annual African Diaspora International Film Festival, D.C., August 2nd to the 4th at the George Washington University Student Center, featuring fiction and documentary films, receptions, and Q&As. ADIFF D.C. from August 2nd to the 4th at the George Washington University Student Center. Tickets and schedule at nyadiff.org or 212-864-1760. ADIFF, where Black Life Matters. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Brazilian music is back in its righteous place on WPFW. I'm your host, Roberto, and Berimbau airs on Sundays, 8 to 10 p.m. Are you ready to take a trip from Rio Grande do Sul to Amazon and back? That's Berimbau, Sundays, 8 to 10 p.m. on WPFW. Building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
The Birchmere welcomes Ladysmith Black Mambazo, Tuesday, July 30th. Nelson Mandela titled them South Africa's cultural ambassadors to the world. Details at birchmere.com.
Education, art, health, music, politics, and all things community.
Yes!
Join me, Ambrose Lane Jr., as we uncover the issues of D.C. communities east of the river on To the East, Mondays at 5 p.m. right here on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW 89.3 FM.
Hi, this is Tom Cole, host of G-Strings, here on WPFW every Sunday morning. I and the rest of the station's volunteers and staff would like to invite you to join the WPFW Legacy Listener Circle by making a contribution to the station's future through your estate plan. There are a lot of ways to do that, through your IRA or retirement plan, by gifting us life insurance, or through your donor-advised fund. We'd be happy to have a confidential discussion with you as you consider a planned gift to the station. Please reach out to us at plannedgiving@wpfw.org or call us at 202-588-0999. Thank you for considering becoming a part of WPFW's future.
Sego, this is John Kane, and I want to invite you to join me right here on WPFW on Fridays at 2 p.m. for Let's Talk Native. I will deliver guests and commentary each week on the real-life issues facing Native people. No romanticizing and no Hollywood stereotypes here. We'll talk real history and culture and life as it is and as it should be. Our shows are available as podcasts on your favorite podcast platforms and as videos on our Let's Talk Native TV YouTube channel. Find links and more at our website, www.letstalknative.com. And I'll see you here Fridays at 2 p.m. for Let's Talk Native with John Kane.
Albert Heath Ave returns to WPFW beginning Monday, July 29th, 2 a.m. till 5 a.m. with music memories, the best of old school from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Yes, the return of Alvin Nedab on 89.3 WPFW FM, Monday, July 29th, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hey, Chris Garlock here.
And I'm Elise Bryant.
Tune in Thursdays at 1 p.m.
for the Labor Heritage Hour Hour.
Every week, we explore labor arts and culture.
As anarchist Emma Goldman said so famously, if I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution.
And that's how we feel about labor music, films,
theater, poetry,
labor history, labor art,
spoken word, basically anything that brings labor and the arts together.
So, Join us for the Labor Heritage Power Hour
here on WPFW 89.3 FM.
Your station for jazz and justice.
That's the Labor Heritage Power Hour.
Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m.
The heart and